You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, it's been a few days since we've had our last episode, but we have another great guest for you guys today. We are going to do a roundtable of sorts with some different media members, and we're still going to do that. So next week, probably we'll have an episode featuring Anthony Sane from the Memphis Flyer and Amari Sankofa from The Athletic. They'll join me for our roundtable. We're going to talk about everything that has happened throughout the year, including the front office changes and the firings and everything that's happened. I'll get their thoughts and opinions on just how the season went as well. We'll probably do a couple of those. The first one, again, will be with Amari and Sane from the Flyer and Athletic, respectively. And then after that, we'll probably get into some different media members. So those are going to kind of get us through the next couple of weeks. I just want to try to get as many opinions and get as many thoughts on this show as possible. I feel like it helps me sort through my thoughts as well. I know it helps you guys hearing from different people as well than just me every single day. So, but on today's episode, we have Matt Herlicka on the show. Was a writer with us at Grizzly Bear Blues, a super talented guy. If you're not already following him on Twitter, please do so at The Real Herlicka. That's going to be your episode today. If you're not already subscribed to this show, please do so in Apple iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, or just download the new Himalaya podcast app. It's super easy. You can subscribe to the show right through that app. If you have a moment, please go rate and review the podcast on Apple iTunes. It's super helpful for us and gives us a super great review and helps us in the rankings and all kinds of other things in iTunes. So if you have a minute, please go do that as well. A bit of news coming out tonight for the Grizzlies. They are hiring Rich Cho as VP of Basketball Strategy and Glenn Grunwald as Senior Advisor to the Grizzlies. Rich Cho was at the Hornets most recently as their GM, and Glenn Grunwald hasn't had a job since 2013. Was with the Knicks, and before that was with the Raptors through the Isaiah Thomas and Vince Carter years, and was considered quite a good GM. But let's talk about that for a minute. Since we last spoke, I had probably a bit of more of a rant than probably I've, as you guys are noticed from time to time. I do have those. If I had a minute to think about the Zach Kleiman and Jason Wexler hiring or rearranging, and my thoughts really haven't changed that much. It's still very strange to me that they didn't hire or didn't have a hiring process. As much as people complain about JB Bickerstaff not having a actual process and not having being interviewed and any of this other stuff, as much as people complain about that, they did the same thing with the front office. They didn't have any interview process. They just elevated somebody. So, like, you know, if you're mad about that, you should be mad about this. It just kind of seems weird. But again, by all accounts, Zach Kleiman's a great guy, and Jason Wexler are a great guy. They're super smart and know what they're doing. But to be frank, they don't have any experience in doing this job at all. So they bring in Rich Cho. Again, Rich Cho got into some pretty unfortunate circumstances and gave out some really bad contracts, and I believe that was 2016. He's also responsible for drafting Kemba Walker, kind of got unlucky with the Anthony Davis lottery and drafted Michael Gilchrist instead, although I probably would have drafted Michael Gilchrist there as well because I was a huge fan of him then. So, it's a mixed bag with Rich Cho, and we're going to talk more about this as well as the other stuff with Matt Herlicka coming up here in a minute, but it seems odd. And here's my take. I don't mind that you hire Rich Cho. I really, really don't. I mean, I don't know much about him other than he had some bad contracts. He's got unlucky. He's had some good drafts. Some people say he's really smart. Some people say he's not. So it's kind of a mixed opinion on him. Again, Grunwald is going to be not even living in Memphis. He's going to be in Toronto. Won't even be here. He is expected to just kind of be an advisor. Again, his last stop was with the Knicks. And that's with Grunwald, is if he's such a GM, like, you see the headline, Grizzlies hire former GMs, that's great, but you have to really dig a little deeper to really understand those GMs, and Grunwald hasn't been good in a job since 2004, hasn't even had a job since 2013. So, you know, if Grunwald is such a good basketball mind and is so experienced, my question is, why isn't he have a job? So that's kind of weird. But again, everybody has a clean slate on this, you know, for me. Like, if they do a good job, great. I'm going to be rooting for them to do a good job. I want them to do a good job. It just seems odd that this is the way they go about it. My problem is, why aren't you going out and making the biggest swing for the fences? Make the biggest swing you can make. And I know probably some people will say, well, Mark, they probably made those phone calls and probably just got told no. You actually have to ask for permission to type to someone like Michael Winger from the Clippers. Like, I'm pretty sure that leaks. Like, it leaked that someone else was able to ask permission to talk to him. If the Grizzlies ask permission to talk to him, it's going to leak, at the very least. Even if it doesn't leak and you ask permission to, you know, and without anybody knowing, they say no, or they say yes and he's not interested, or however it goes, and no one finds out, leak that yourself. If you're the Grizzlies, leak that yourself so people know, hey, look, we went out and we're swinging for the fences. Like, we're going out here, we're doing whatever we can. Like, there was no reason you had to bring in Rich Cho right away. No one's clamoring to have Rich Cho as their GM. No one's clamoring to have Glenn Grunwald as their GM. You don't have to do that today. You don't do that next week. So why not take the time, swing for the fences, at least go out and make the phone calls? And they might have made the phone calls. I don't know. But at the very least, if you do make the phone calls and nobody leaks it to the media, which I just assume it would at this point. If it leaked from another organization, why would it not leak from this organization? But if it doesn't, why not do it yourself so people know you're going out and doing the best job possible to get the best person you can in for this job? We'll see how it works out. Again, I'm hoping for the best, because for the Grizzlies, I want them to be good, because I want to talk about a team that's playing well. And we'll see. As far as the coaching candidates and the coaching carousel, that I don't assume that will happen anytime soon. I assume they'll probably wait to the lottery to get that fixed and really see where they shakes out. I think if you land in the lottery and you're able to somehow get the number one pick, this team becomes very different, attractiveness wise, with Jaren Jackson and Zion Williamson than without Zion Williamson. So, like, I think that could change the game quite considerably if that were to happen. I don't think it's going to, but that would be awesome if it did. So I think they'll probably wait on that. But coming up after the break, we'll talk to Matt Herlicka about the rest of this. Again, he's a super smart guy. He kind of talks about the ledge on some of these things, especially with I have not been a huge fan of the two former gyms that came in. I think you probably could have gone and got out maybe some more experience. But again, Matt has some great points on that, and hopefully you guys enjoy that conversation with Matt. Wyze is the indoor camera that does it all. Wyze is packed with premium features that allows you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. It's 1080 full HD. The images are so clear you won't miss a thing. It's got night vision and two-way audio. Wyze has one mission, is to bring amazing smart home products and make it accessible to every single person. If you're on vacation and want to check on your house, all you have to do is log into their app and see the live stream from anywhere in the world. If you're on vacation, if you want to make sure your dogs are okay, if you want to make sure that your plants have been watered, literally you can watch anything you want to watch from anywhere in the world with the Wyze Cam at just $20 a camera. It is super, super affordable. And even bigger bonus, they have a free 14-day rolling cloud storage and no subscriptions. I know that every single time you get something, there's always that hidden thing as you have to subscribe. Well, with Wyze Cam, there is no subscriptions at all. And for just $10 more, Wyze Cam Pan gives you 360 degrees of coverage in under 3 seconds. Life moves fast. Your camera should too. You can also track action. Wyze Cam Pan automatically detects, tags, and tracks motion within its field of view. You want to watch your pets when you're on vacation? It's literally never been easier, as the Wyze Cam Pan will keep up with the motion as it crosses the field of view. Keeping up with life in real time has never been so easy. It even works with Alexa. It also works on your smartphone from literally anywhere in the world. Go to wyze.com/locked. That's wyze.com, wyze.com/locked. You'll get the lowest price available. Welcome back to the show. It's been a few days since we've had a show, but I can't think of another better way to get back on top with a great guest, Matt Herlicka. It's been a while since we've had you on the show, about probably a month or so. What's going on, man? How you been?
Good. Like we were talking about, I saw watched my favorite soccer team win an epic 7-goal game today, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Nice, nice. We don't have Matt for a long time, so I want to get right to it as we record on What is this, Tuesday night? Wednesday night. Grizzlies just had a bit of breaking news. They hired a couple more front office executives. But I first want to get your thoughts on just the way the Grizzlies – two things. The rearranging, if you will, not really hiring, but rearranging of roles and what you think of those guys in the new roles. And then just how it all went down for you. If you know, I think there were a lot of people that thought it was kind of a shitty way to do it, myself included, for us to go out there and talk to everybody and then a couple hours later to do the deal. But first, what do you think about the new guys on staff, Zach Kleiman, Jason Wexler, as basically GM and I guess vice president of basketball operations, whatever Wexler's new title is?
Yeah, I wrote about this week. I mean, as far as Kleiman goes, I don't know how anybody could have an opinion of him. I mean, because we just don't know, you know.
Right.
Everything we've heard is, you know, he's smart, he's young, he was thrown into the deep end with weights on and he swam, which is that's all great. Those are also the things that everybody says about anybody who's been any young guy who's been promoted beyond, you know, what you would deem as reasonable, like that's right. Those are the things that are attached to them. So, you know, grain of salt and everything. As far as Wexler goes, I mean, he frankly, in business operations, he has killed it for the Grizzlies. So what concerns me is that now he has something else on his plate too, which, right. You know, congratulations to him. That's great. And I'm actually happy for him. But you know, I can't help but think that something will suffer. I mean, you can't just add a whole nother thing under your purview and think that everything from the old job is going to be fine. You know, so will we see slippage in the business operations? I mean, probably we won't see it. It may never be discernible, but I just can't imagine that that's going to run itself. You know, so good luck to Mr. Wexler. But I think he's got, I don't envy his position. I'll put it that way. That's a lot. That's a lot to do.
Well, you're asking someone to do, you know, essentially three different jobs, which is tough to do just on a normal basis. If you're in your normal job, when your boss comes to you and said, "Hey, I want to add something else to your plate," and now you're running a billion-dollar franchise, it's a lot. What did you think about the way it went down? Were you indifferent? Did you just, I mean, because we see them talk about the same, preach about how it's going to be different, but essentially, I would mm-hmm. imagine that Kleiman and Wexler were in, you know, involved in that in process in some way, shape, or form. I know Robert Pierre, I think, came in late that day and actually did it, but the way it all went down seems same old Grizzlies, even though it seems to me that they're telling us it's going to be different.
Yeah, I mean, those are the types of things that I don't care about. I mean,
gotcha.
There's no good way to fire people. Now, should there be a better way than the way they chose? Probably, yeah. I would never fire somebody like that after making them go out and tell people, you know, like, oh, I'm going to be here and, you know, this guy's going to be here too. And then, you know, ax them right then. But, you know, like they don't have much time. You know, they've got right. a ticking clock on a lot of decisions, and this is going to be a really important off season. They've got they might trade Mike Conley. They've got possibly a draft pick. They've got, I mean, there's just the ends of things are rarely pretty. And so I just don't, you know, if they had fired those guys before the trade deadline, now you're rushing to put in a new infrastructure right before the trade deadline and do all right. the things that they would have done, trade them after. Suddenly the players are, you know, maybe not as bought in because they have a new coach that they know is not going to be there and they have to answer all these questions. I mean, should there have been a better way? Yeah, but there aren't that many good ways. And I just don't, I really don't think in the long run it matters, you know. That's my personal take. I mean, if I was in the building and saw all the awkwardness, obviously I would think different, but I wasn't there. So,
yeah, it was definitely awkward to for sure. But I understand what you're saying. In the long run, it doesn't matter how it happened. It happened and yeah. kind of move on from there.
I don't disagree with anybody who thinks that it was, I mean, it was bad. Like,
no, I just thought it was just a kind of a classless way to do it. You know, I just thought it was like, sure. you know, Chris Wallace, I mean, as much as I've bitched about Chris Wallace, he knows better than that, you know, like
absolutely.
It's just kind of weird.
Yeah. I don't, I mean, it's kind of the thing. It's obvious it's classless, but what does it, it doesn't matter to me. You know, my life is the same. And sure. Chris Wallace is handsomely compensated. I think he'll survive.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I'm not worried. Chris Wallace, JB is going to get paid his full contract. Yeah. They're going to make money. Yeah. They're fine. Did you think that, I mean, everything I've seen is Kleiman was pretty heavily involved this year. Does that concern you that they just rearrange some things inside? I know Kleiman's like you said, they say he's smart. They say he can do these things. But does it concern you? They didn't go out and at least try to call some of the, I know they're, it's a hard job because you can't just go call some of the big names, the GMs, and get them to come here because it's not a great attractive job. But does it concern you they didn't at least do that process? Like go out and say, hey, let's interview some people. Instead, they just said, okay, you know what? You're the new guy. Does that concern you at all?
Yeah, that's my main concern is that they basically, you know, there's a ceiling on the type of candidates, and some have just come out like we'll get to shortly, that will work under a 30-year-old and a dual, you know, business and basketball operations. I mean, you're basically eliminating all people who hope to have to get a GM job, essentially.
Right.
I mean, there's a ton of really smart people in this league. Like we can talk about him now. Rich Cho is really smart. He's really smart. He doesn't have a job because a lot of these guys are really smart. And you just put a cap on, like, I suggested a few, you know, but there's tons of guys in the league that are young and hungry and hoping to get that GM job. And by putting somebody in place, it just seems like they put the cart before the horse. Like Kleiman on the staff is fine with me. It's weird that he's the GM, like, or right. Not the GM, but whatever his title is, that he's the lead decision maker for basketball. And then he reports to somebody who has also never done it. Like that's weird. And it's probably suboptimal in the long run. Like it makes sense that you have Kleiman on the staff. If you want him on the staff, it doesn't really fully make sense. Like he would have turned down an assistant job. Like they must, to me, that means like they really like him and want to put him in place. But the types of people you can get around that person are, there's a ceiling on it. You can't go and get the best guy. You can't go and get the assistant GM from Toronto or OKC or Denver, you know, some of these teams that knock it out of the park, like in their transactions. And you don't get a window into how other teams do it. And that's the biggest issue is that if you want to establish best practices, you need somebody who knows how to establish best practices. And if you've been in the right. building, like Kleiman's been in the building since 2014, Wexler's never done basketball stuff. Who are the best practices coming from? That's really concerning to me.
Well, that was my biggest issue is that you have, and again, I keep saying this, and it's a caveat, is everybody gets a fair shake and I'm going to give them that, but also have to talk about this. And so that's what we're going to do. Like my biggest issue is that essentially you have a couple of guys who have literally never done this job before doing mm-hmm. this job. And everybody, well, not everybody, but people complained last year that you gave JB Bickerstaff the job without really yeah. having a hiring process. But yet you just did the same exact thing. And all I hear is positive things, which is great. And I'm sure they're smart guys and I'm sure they're very nice people. But like, why do you not go out? Here's my thing. Go out and make the call. If someone turned you down, if Michael Winger from the Clippers turned you down, then mm-hmm, so be it. Mm-hmm. But at least go make that phone call and at least let that leak out that they're going to ask permission to talk to him. Literally any of the top GMs, you just got to swing for the fences. And it feels like Robert Pera doesn't want to do that because he's comfortable with what he knows. I don't know. Mm-hmm, like, I just, mm-hmm, I don't know what mm-hmm. it is, but it seems odd to me that you don't go out and just at least try. Instead, you're like, you know what? We'll just give it to Zach Kleiman. And like you said, you can't go out and put some of the best GMs around him because no one's going to come to want to work for a 30-year-old who's never done the job. That's not going to happen, right? I mean, that's just yeah. no way.
And you made a good point about it's a double standard. If I was one of the people, I was like, look, JBB may be the best guy for the job. You know, that may be so. I'm not going to pass judgment right now. I'm going to root for him. They should have interviewed other people. And who knows, they may have made those calls that you just asked for. I mean, David Griffin took a job the same day, you know, right. and he took a job with the team that needs to trade their franchise player.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and all things considered, that has been a
a poorly run franchise, the Pelicans.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and you know, it could just be that they made those calls and they got turned down, didn't want to admit it. It could be that they think Kleiman and Wexler are the best guys for the job, which, okay, that's fine. Maybe interview other people and still arrive at that same goal. Or it could be that, and I think you've hit on something, which is that Para leans on what he knows, you know, the people that he knows. That's, yeah, I made this point. Like, if you are an absentee owner, you want somebody, maybe you overvalue loyalty and trust a little, you know?
Right.
That certainly is a possibility there. Ultimately, we don't know. And we just, I mean, I'm certainly not going to be bitching that these people are in control. I'll bitch about their bad moves, but I won't complain about, you know, and they're smart people. This may work out, you know. It's more of the concept of it than anything else that bothers
me. Well, it's like you said, that my point is, and just into your point earlier, that if who are establishing the best practices of how to run a franchise, how to do transactions so you don't get behind, quite frankly, like they did this year. If Zach Kleiman was heavily involved in the Marc Gasol transaction, they got very behind and did it too late to be able to deal
Has that been reported that he was heavily involved there?
I don't know. It's what I've heard. I haven't mm-hmm. seen anybody that can officially report that. It's just what I've heard, and it just mm-hmm. it just seems odd. Like, if you know that he was heavy, I mean, Chris Harrington said he's been heavily involved this year, and you know, people mm-hmm. said got thrown into the deep end kind of thing. But like, I you know, like that just kind of just strikes me as odd. It's like, if you know, that's that deal right there with Marc Gasol, they got behind the eight ball and had to deal Jermichael Green and Garrett Temple to get back under the luxury tax.
Right.
Where they,
right.
they didn't deal a week earlier. It's a different scenario where you can actually look for deals for a week. So let's move on.
I would say this, just hypothetically speaking, because I don't know where the demarcation is, if Kleiman was more involved or not.
I don't know for sure either. That's just, again,
right.
what I've heard.
But let's assume that he was. I would not take the deadline deals as a feather in their cap. Like, they've worked out, and like, they look better today than they did to me at that time. Like, the fact that Jonas took the added usage and has done the things he's done with it is impressive. And if that was part of the reasoning, that's impressive too. I like some of the things I've seen out of DeLon Wright, but I wouldn't necessarily look at that and be like, oh, you know, like, I wouldn't put that on my CV of, you know, these guys are good at their jobs. Like, I would say maybe they got lucky and it worked out, or maybe they took a gamble and it worked out. But still, that what you said, the Jermichael Green, Garrett Temple move was a bad move to facilitate something that happened to work out, is the way I put it.
Right. And like I said, if they'd just done that deal a week earlier, and that deal was probably on the table a week earlier. I don't know for sure. There's no way to tell them, but I would assume it was.
Yeah, possibly.
But yes, the deals look better in hindsight. Because sure. of the way things worked out, you know, if Jonas Valanciunas comes in here and does nothing, then that deal looks awful. You know, like, I yep. get it, but at the same time, like you said, that's not something I would say, you know what, look what we got for Shelvin Mack. Actually, take that back. You can say, look what I got for Shelvin Mack, because Shelvin Mack was awful. He got waived as soon as like, you get Tyler Dorsey, which is fine, which is whatever, but that's actually one I would say.
The one thing I will have to do, the one thing I actively do, and this is something anybody that's interested in this kind of thing should do, is you should remember, like, your first instinct of things,
yep.
like a trade when it happens. And if you keep being wrong about a certain team, then they're smarter than you. Like, they have something there. So let's just say, for instance, like, they make a move this summer and I come out and pan it and it works out again. And now this is two that have, like, oh, it looked bad on its face and suddenly it worked out. Like, I'll have to give them more credit and be like, you know what? There's something here that I need to look at that they're doing that I'm not recognizing, which is frankly a lot of stuff because I'm not in a front office and I don't have the reams of data that they have. So,
well, you know. No, you're right. I mean, like, I'll be right there with you because I was not a fan of the deadline deals they did at all. And we have a Grizzly Bear Blues Slack channel and people can tell you, I was like the only person bitching about it. But you're right. Like, but we should be wrong. Like, we should be like, you know yeah. what? They were smarter than us because they have the jobs and we don't. So, like, we're just here. We're sitting here talking about it. So, like, if we continue to be right, that's where the problem is. That's the issue. Is we continue to be right, there's a bigger problem. I would say, I would tell people, remember the same thing, you know, the instincts you have. It's just, it doesn't really change. But as we record on Wednesday night, they just announced, or Woj bomb came out probably maybe 30 minutes ago, that they hired Rich Cho as a former GM, and they hired Glenn Grunfeld. He was with the Toronto Raptors. He was most recently with the Knicks. Cho was with the Hornets. They were both. And this is how I put it on Twitter, and I was just arguing with people again in our Grizzly Bear with Slack channel, because I might be the only one that is negative about it. But I put it like this: is the headline of hire two former GMs is great. I'm not sure those track record of those GMs is how good they are, but the headline of just hiring two former GMs is fantastic. Again, Glenn hasn't had a job, I think, since 2013 or 2014 with the Knicks, so it's been a while. But thoughts on those two guys? Talk me off the ledge, Matt.
I will. I have no thoughts on Grunwald. Don't say Grunfeld.
Grunfeld is the Wizards guy. Yeah.
Very different gentleman.
Very different.
Grunwald, I have no opinion. He was heavily tied to like Isaiah Thomas years, and who knows, because Isaiah Thomas was crazy. But I'm a fan of Rich Cho. Rich Cho had an impossible situation in Charlotte, and I'm a fan of sort of appropriating percentages of blame and success. And Michael Jordan is the one where I would be like, okay, we need to modulate our opinions of all these transactions, because Jordan always wanted to win. And they also, Cho got insanely unlucky on a couple things. Like, not only did they finish second in the Anthony Davis lottery, and they had to take, they didn't have to take Michael Carter, not Michael Carter Williams,
Michael
MKG.
Yeah,
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Because the third pick was Bradley Beal. So that doesn't look so great. I was a huge fan of Beal. I was also a very big fan of MKG. I would have probably taken MKG, I think. But the year before, he took Kemba. And he made a trade for another top 10 pick. I mean, he had Jordan bought into a tank. This was like the process before the process. And, you know, they like released DJ Augustine, and they gave Kemba the wheels. And the other thing they got insanely unlucky about was they had all those free agents in the summer of 2016. Like, when all that cap space was out, they had just made the playoffs. And there was insane pressure to like re-sign all those guys, and they just got stuck with a bunch of bad contracts. They had like four or five free agents that year. It was insane. Not to mention the fact that they had to turn down Jordan Nixed four first round picks for the pick that ended up becoming Frank Kaminsky, because Jordan wanted to draft Frank Kaminsky. Rich Cho is really smart. He has like a ton of knowledge and a lot of, like, he's trained as an engineer, and then like he worked for Boeing for a while, and then like befriended Paul Allen and became the GM of the Trailblazers. Then he moved over to the Thunder and worked for the Thunder. Like, he got a job right away again, worked for the Thunder under Sam Presti as like an assistant. Then that's how he got the Hornets job. I just think he's really smart. I've listened to him on, I think he was on the Zach Lowe pod. It was like 4 or 5 years ago or something. And he has a food blog. He's a foodie. You got to like a foodie.
Yeah. It almost seems like his failure was having Michael Jordan in the way. So maybe with an absentee owner like Robert Parra, granted, he said he's been more involved this year. Who really knows? No one knows what Parra does, but maybe with an absentee owner, he's able to have more latitude. And it sounds like from what you're saying is that he might be better in a situation to rebuild a team.
I think he appreciates and knows how to apply data. I don't think he was necessarily given that chance. And like, I have a couple front NBA front office hot takes. One of them is that Rich Cho was actually good, but then like another one was that Ryan McDonough was actually good for Phoenix. So like, grain of salt. I'm sure you could run down the list of his transactions. Like, basically, a lot of these guys, like most people in NBA front offices, are incredibly smart. And
yeah, that's why they're there.
Sometimes it comes down to owner. Right. What's that?
I said, yeah. That's why they're there. You don't get those jobs without being remotely good at what you're doing. So
yeah. And I would, if you do a search for that Zach Lowe pod with Cho, you can find it, and it's really good. And he comes off as extremely, my wife has this joke, like when I meet somebody that I don't know, like she can tell within 5 minutes whether I like them or not. It is basically like, do I find you interesting?
Right.
and she's just like, you're really bad. Like you just need to like, but anyway, if I met Rich Cho, I would be like on his arm because I would think he was really interesting. And frankly, like, I mean, I think I would feel that way. Like if I met Zach Kleiman and just like at a bar or something, I'd be like, oh really?
Right.
Like, you know, you work as in legal, like in the NBA, tell me more about that. And I would just talk and talk and talk and talk and get him to, you know,
well, they're going to have a damn good law firm if this basketball thing doesn't work out. That's for sure.
You know, that's actually my thing is they need to hire a non-lawyer, like nothing
yeah.
against lawyers.
Yeah.
I have a lot of lawyer friends. My dad was a lawyer. My brother and sister-in-law are both lawyers. Get too many lawyers in a room and there's trouble. So like, just go hire just anybody, literally any other
right.
profession.
Or just yeah. elevate Tayshaun Prince. If
you
really, if you're the one, just like straight basketball, nothing else of just evaluative talent. I like Tayshaun. I think he would do better in a bigger role.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's the other thing, just to get back to that. Like, I just can't, I don't know what the through line is where Wallace and Hollinger are out, which is not, I'm not defending Hollinger or Wallace, neither.
Right.
But what's the through line where those two are out, Macris, Prince, and others are in, and Wexler and Kleiman are elevated? Like that,
yeah,
just,
it's a weird thing because because Chris Wallace used to always tell us that it was a group effort, right? Like that's
mm-hmm.
what he would always
mm-hmm.
say. Like it's a brain trust. It's everybody has a, you know, decision. And so it's a very strange thing for me. Like I would just love, and maybe Rich Cho's the person, but I would love for them to just go out and say, hey, look, we need, clearly whatever we're working for the past however long decade isn't working. Like we have to go get
mm-hmm.
something completely different, like just brand new fresh ideas, something like you said, the best practices of how Toronto does it, how the Spurs do it.
Yeah,
we need to model our franchise after them. And it does seem from the outside looking in that it is going to be the same type of people running the office. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that, you know, like I said, for all accounts, Zach Kleiman seems like a really awesome dude, but he also has never done this job. And so I hope for the Grizzlies' sake that it goes well.
Yeah. One thing they need to do, almost regardless of how the first year goes, they need to let this thing just marinate. Like, let these people do their jobs for more than 1 year.
Right.
Hire a coaching staff that you like. It's your coaching staff. Let them do their jobs for more than 1 year, regardless of how bad it goes. Just bring some stability and get everybody on the same page. Like, if you're going to rebuild, if you're going to not tank, but just rebuild, if you're trading Mike Conley, you better tell your coach you're going to do that. Like, you cannot
right.
bring in a coach who wants to win. You tell them they're winning, and then you trade Mike Conley.
Exactly.
Like, everybody has to be on the same page that this thing is going where you say it's going, you know?
Yeah. Last question, I'll get you out of here. I put this out on Twitter, and maybe a week ago. What direction do you go on head coach? Do you look for another NBA assistant, which quite frankly, that hasn't worked out well for them,
mm-hmm.
Hiring an assistant that has no coaching experience. Do you try to call a head coach that's already out there, maybe a former head coach has gotten let go, or do you look to the college ranks?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say probably what they will do is an assistant. That's my
right.
guess. I don't have a strong opinion of like, who they should do.
Yeah, no,
I'm not necessarily
names, but would
yeah.
you like, would you go down to college and try to pick one of those top guys there? Or would you,
I mean, I really like Jay Wright. I really,
yeah.
I threw him out as a candidate back like a really long time ago. Like
right.
it might've been like the Lionel Hollins, like when he got the job deal. Cause I just always liked the teams that he had with Kyle Lowry and, they had like they ran a three guard offense like before anybody ran a three guard offense. And I was like, man, this is so,
right.
this guy's so smart. But I don't see a college, you have to pay a lot to get a really good college coach. Like those guys have so much stability and they just print money. I think they're probably going to be left with an assistant, which might not work out, but it might work out. I don't know. There's a lot of smart assistant coaches around there.
Well, at the same
Juwan
time,
Howard has been mentioned a lot, I think. Juwan Howard
yeah.
has been mentioned for different people in the Heat, you know, so maybe that's one.
Well, if you are going to go into a rebuild and you know you're not going to win anytime soon, you know, putting on assistant coach on a 2-year deal is maybe not a bad thing. You never know. You take a gamble. If it doesn't work out in 2 years, you're probably in the same position you have, maybe more draft picks and a little more younger talent. And then that job becomes a little more attractive. And maybe this job changes quite tremendously if they were happening to somehow get the number one pick and they land Zion Williams. And then it becomes a whole different job because you can put Zion.
Okay, I've got one hot take for you. No. If they get the number one pick, they need to trade Mike Conley immediately. That goes against what people will say, but they absolutely need to trade.
No, absolutely.
Like nothing else matters. You got your studs. Like, be bad for one more year, get what you can, and build around Zion and Jaren. Nothing else matters.
I was just about to say that. You get Zion Williamson, and then you trade Mike Conley and get even more younger. Like, you get a little younger and get him more draft picks. I think that's considerably that's smart. I think that's a smart way to go. And if anybody says differently, you're just wasting your time. You're just kicking the can on the run even more.
But you need to convey. You need to convey if they don't convey this year.
They have to. They have to. Yeah. So, all right, man. Matt, I appreciate you joining me. I know you're limited on time tonight, but I'm sure we will do it again very soon, man.
All right. Take care, Mark.
Welcome back to the show. Again, if you're not already a subscriber to this show, please do that. Please go to iTunes and subscribe. Or you can just go download the new podcast app, Himalaya. It's super easy to use, super intuitive. And you can subscribe to our podcast straight through that app. Thanks again to Matt Herlickert for joining me. He has a Patreon. If you guys aren't already subscribed to that, please go do so. It's super, super easy, super cheap. And he puts out a lot of really, really good content. I always enjoy talking to Matt. I appreciate him coming on today. Again, if you're not already subscribed, please do so. If you have a minute, please go rate and review the podcast and iTunes. It really helps the show. If you still don't know where to go, just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.